Hello, everyone. Welcome to This Is a Totally Your Prize, a totally true podcast. I'm Ashley. I'm joined, as always, by your friend and mine, Molly.
Hey, hi. It's me, Molly. Got Luke with us.
Hello.
Hello, Iris is here.
Hey.
Hello, we're back.
We are.
Although I guess we didn't miss a week. I'm just, you know.
We're back.
I just don't know what else to say when we start a podcast anymore.
Yeah.
That's understandable.
You know, we've just been doing this for so long.
Yeah, I feel like I can't do a silly bit when you introduce me, because then that cuts off the Iris introduction.
Yeah, because now it cuts off Iris. Yeah,
right.
Now it's a problem.
No, yeah. It's fine.
Should
I just
go Iris first, then Luke, and
well, I earned this spot seniority wise.
but then I would deprive Iris of her bits. See, that's
right.
The thing, because she has done bits. So
yeah,
like,
I've occasionally done bits.
It's tough out here. It's
yeah.
tough.
Here, hold this medicine ball to help you de-stress while we think about how to sort out this intro.
Iris, would you like to tell us how your week's been?
Yeah, sure. My week has been pretty okay. I played some Marvel Midnight Suns.
Oh, how'd that go?
Oh yeah, the like XCOM.
Yeah, it's a pretty fun game.
Yeah.
I
heard good things.
I like hanging out with Blade and Nico and Magic. I have not once done a hangout with Tony Stark, because fuck that guy.
Yeah.
Just wait until you get to the story-required Tony Stark hangout.
Yeah. So far, they haven't forced me to use Tony all that much.
That's good.
I think I've only had to use him for a couple missions. So it's
for
mostly,
the record, I just made that shit up, okay? So don't...
Yeah.
It wasn't me.
Okay. It's mostly just been me and, like, the goth gang. The goth magic gang.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Blade is, like... has, like, a crush on Carol Danvers, the fucking military pilot.
Yeah.
Unfortunate. Please get better taste in white women, Blade.
Yeah, fair enough.
Listen, he's earned this.
I guess. I'm just saying, Blade can do better. But yeah, that game's pretty fun. I also did try some Uma Musume Pretty Derby,
which came out
a few days ago, which is the gacha game about horse girls who do races and also idol concerts at the end of each race.
Well, that makes sense. Yeah. Why would they not do that?
Yeah. You got to have the concert in there. It is a game where after playing it for a few hours, I thought to myself, oh, this is not a game I'm going to be playing for very much longer. 'Cause the thing about the Uma Musume gameplay loop is, okay. So like horse racing, obviously big part of horse racing is the race itself. But would anyone like to tell me what they also associate with horse racing?
Gambling?
Raising horses.
Molly got it.
Oh,
so
okay.
Sorry, I cheated.
Yeah. Horse.
It's a gotcha. So I was also right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, no, that's fair. So the thing about Uma Musume is that it also attempts to, like, simulate the whole breeding aspect of horses, but, like, you can't have the anime girls fuck. Because Psy Games are cowards. So instead, you have... Instead, like, when you train a new horse girl, you choose two other horse girls to be their inspiration. And those horse girls can pass on stat boosts and skills to the horse that is you are training. Because the thing about when you pull the gacha for a new horse, like, what you're doing is you're pulling for templates and you are, every time you do a career mode, you are training a new version of that particular horse girl, using that template as like the starting point that can then be modified by the veteran horse girls that you have chosen to be their inspiration, plus other like support cards that you also have to roll a gacha for, that can provide stat boosts throughout the career mode, which is like half a racing game thing and half like Princess Maker style thing where you are, you know, planning out what they're doing each day to like raise their stats or like manage their energy and stuff like that. And I'm looking at this and I am thinking, okay, I can see where this leads for like the end game, where you are just constantly doing career modes and like figuring out the inheritance chart to maximize your horse girl's, you know, skills and stat boosts so they are the optimal horse for a particular race type, all of which is also moderated by heavy like RNG, both in the races and also just in what support cards you pull. And I was like, no, I want out. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is a shame because the horse girls are very cute and I like them a lot, but that is not a game that I think anyone should play.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
The thing I know the most, and it's from the anime that this was based on, because all the horses are based on real horses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is all of the, like, Easter eggs.
Yeah.
Of, like, you know, like, oh, the real horse does this, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Such as one horse's windscreen being it drop kicking the camera, because the horse usually kicks cameras out of people's hands.
Yeah, the thing about horses is they also are just chaos beasts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
they're little. Yeah. They're well, not little. They're big stinkers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only thing I know this from is fan artists that posit that the horse girl should be the size of actual horses.
Interesting. God.
That's really funny.
I also know that early on in the anime, she is like running to school. It's the usual, like, I'm late to school. But instead of instead of a toast in her mouth, it's a carrot.
I should just watch the anime instead, really, is what I should
do. I think that's what you should do.
Yeah, yeah. You probably should.
You just want the cute horse girls and, like, horse humor. That seems like, there it is.
Yeah,
they got a place for you to go.
Exactly, yeah. So that way I can, sort of experience the storylines of Special Week and Vodka without having to experience a really terrible game system that is designed to exploit and hurt you.
If I remember correctly, Chris really liked the anime, so.
Okay, well, that's good to know. That's great. I will watch the anime then, and I will report back.
She's not here for me to ask her, though, so I guess don't quote me on that.
Okay.
But, you know.
Yeah. I also believe they have their own separate lane in on the roads.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Because the horse...
Yeah.
Well, they can't use the sidewalk.
This is the horse lane.
Yeah. And they have changed the kanji for horse. Because part of the original kanji involves it having four legs.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Like, as part of, like, the design, so they changed it to only have two legs.
Mm-hmm. Man, yeah.
So, like, if you want weird world building in Horse Girls,
they're doing the work.
It's very funny to me that in Uma Musume, all horses are horse girls. Like, the like the horses we know do not exist.
Right.
Which is funny because, like, in a lot of anime where cat girls exist, you do still have cats, just like normal cats.
I wonder if that's here, like, though. A Khajiit thing.
It's a great question. I don't know. But yeah, no, that's kind of been my experience for this week.
Now, I do have to add, like, okay.
What?
Because the idea that there's no horses, only horse girls, raises so many questions for me. Do people ride the horse girls? I guess that's the first thing we gotta sort here.
I mean, as far as I know, they don't. I don't recall it ever being mentioned in any of like the
military history.
Watched.
Yes.
Yeah.
How did Genghis Khan conquer the like Asian steppe without like horse mounted archery?
I think he just had Uma Musume who were archers.
Okay.
Because like the point is that the horses is like very mobile and fast.
Sure.
So like the Uma Musume are as fast as a normal horse. They're just in girl form. So if Genghis Khan's horses. Yeah. Could shoot bows themselves, he wouldn't have to put a man on top of them, you know? The horse could just do it all themselves. And that's what the Uma Musume represent. They are horses, and also they have opposable thumbs.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've also sent a photo of the horse phone, which is extra long.
Yeah. Because you need it to reach the ears.
I bet their smartphones go crazy.
They had to invent the touchscreen hamburger fold, whether they wanted to or not. It just wouldn't have worked without that.
Looking
you know?
Like an obelisk from 2001 ass phone.
Yeah, here's the brick. Yeah, okay, great. Well, thanks, Iris.
Yeah, you're welcome.
For the...
I'm happy. I'm happy
and
to bring
horse girl minute.
Horse minutes to the podcast.
Luke, what have you been doing?
What have I been doing? Delivering packages.
How is Death Stranding 2? You were telling me about it yesterday, but tell the people.
I got Death Stranding 2, and I've played about 10 hours of Death Stranding 2.
How's the kangaroos?
That came out 2 days ago, right?
Listen,
putting in some real Molly hours.
Don't even feel ashamed, man. It's okay. you can just make fun of me for it later.
Sometimes you just gotta deliver some packages.
Yeah, no, understandable.
We all understand.
Nothing
this.
Stops the post.
So I hit Molly with this already off mic, but Iris, you know, obviously we've all talked about our gripes with Death Stranding 1.
Yeah, sure.
I weirdly feel like I've reached the point where that story sucks, but like I kind of have fun hating that story, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I totally get
that.
I'm
like not mad about the fact that it sucks. I'm just like, this stupid bullshit, you dumbass.
That's kind of where I ended up with Death Stranding. It's like,
I was angry when I finished that game, and that anger has cooled over the past 6 years.
Yeah, because you remember, like, the vast majority of that game, you don't spend in any of the stupid story. You just spend, like, doing some walking, and that's great.
Yeah. So, thinking about the gameplay of Death Stranding, Iris, if you were going into, like, a Death Stranding 2, what kind of gameplay additions and changes would you like to see?
I'd like to see sort of, like, more types of structures that you could make to, like, you know, increase the number of transit options you have. Yeah. You know, maybe different types of environments to go over, because the first game was very much, this is Icelandic.
What are you talking about? That's America.
Okay, I'll say so far you are saying things that there's definitely new types of environments, and I think there are new structures, although I'm early enough that I haven't really seen them yet.
Yeah.
They've started to hint at the idea of a monorail system, so that's something.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, I don't fuck, know, hang you, on, you didn't tell me that shit.
I didn't have it unlocked when I talked to you about it.
Oh, fuck.
I think a train would be cool.
I only just got
cool.
Like, hey, go bring the monorail station online. I'm like, a monorail station, you say? No, I'm sure it's not like fucking, what is that, Satisfactory, where like you get to plan
no,
the monorail
route. No, it never could be.
It'd like, be more like the roads are, right?
Yeah, like yeah. I got why the original Death Stranding 1 did roads, but I always thought like it's kind of weird that you're not like building a train system. Which seems like it'd be a lot more useful.
Like, yeah, like that's more what like freight is. But I guess, I wonder if Japan has the same like freight...
I would guess
infrastructure on trains.
I don't know for sure, but my guess would be yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, what other additions would you like to see to Death Stranding 2, Iris?
So I'm going to tip my hand a little bit here, because I have seen videos.
Okay.
You know, one thing I always thought to myself about the original Death Stranding is like, damn, I wish Sam Porter Bridges knew Kung Fu.
Oh, you've seen him fighting that pizza guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have not gotten to the pizza guy yet.
I just saw videos of like the fucking combat system.
Yeah, they added a lot more combat into this one.
Where, like, you can do parries and shit. I'm like, what?
Well, you could do that in Death Stranding 1.
Oh, you... Did I completely forget you could do parries
in that
game?
The parry
was
in Death Stranding 1, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The thing is that the combat in that game isn't good. So, like...
You don't
want
to do...
Why would you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was seeing Crystal talk about this, and I agree that, like, them adding non-lethal guns was the, like, height of cowardice.
Yes. And, like...
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, you had non-lethal guns in the original Death Stranding, you unlocked them a little ways in, and yeah, it's a whole game about how, like, you know, death and killing and, like, how that's bad for, like, the survival of humanity. We gotta come together, we gotta connect, and not the rope, not the stick, blah, blah, blah,
Luke,
you know?
It's the first Strand game.
Yeah.
Okay?
It's the first Strand game.
Yeah, killing is bad and wrong, it's badonk.
Yeah. And this one of the very first items they give you is a non-lethal assault rifle. And
Mr. Kojima, I don't think you learned anything.
And one of the very first missions you get is, hey, go clear out this enemy base.
That's not what I want to do, though.
I have unlocked a sniper rifle, a shotgun, grenade launcher.
No, Mr. Kojima, no!
I've got a non-lethal grenade launcher. It's not stun grenades. They're just normal grenades that don't kill you because
Wait,
no, because they work on, like robot enemies. They'll, like, blow up robot enemies, but they just stun normal guys.
What?
Yeah. They're called multi-purpose weapons. Uh-huh. So they'll just, they're lethal to non-living things and non-lethal to living things.
Wow, how convenient. Even Splinter Cell, a game that is about like, hey, Sam Fisher, sometimes you gotta make the hard decisions to kill some motherfucking terrorists, does a better job of like distinguishing non-lethal options from lethal options.
No, they're just all non-lethal, at least so far.
That's really weird.
It was like, I never encountered it because I wouldn't, but like, it was a cool concept that like, listen, you can use lethal guns. You better take all of those bodies to the burner, man.
Yeah, yeah. I have not like explored every inch of the two maps I have unlocked, but I have not seen an incinerator to take bodies to, so I suspect... There just are not lethal weapons.
And it's just not possible to kill a person?
Yeah, again, can't, like, swear by that, but that is the impression I have right now.
Wait a minute.
Weird. Weird.
What's up, Molly?
Wait, what?
What's up?
They just cut that shit?
I don't know for sure. Maybe I'm wrong. But I think they just cut that shit.
But there's an intentionality to giving you the lethal... Huh? Ooh! Okay.
The thing that Death Stranding 2 has made me think over and over was, I mean, listen, the story in Death Stranding 1 was bad, but at least...
The game, good.
We loved the story.
Not even gameplay, but at least the story was good in this way, even if it was bad overall. At least it was good in that way, even if it was bad overall.
Yeah.
It at least had something to say, or...
I'm trying. Part of me is like, I'm so early, I shouldn't judge yet, things could develop. But part of me also remembers thinking that about Death Stranding 1 and then being completely sold out for having that level of faith in it.
Nah, sorry, no, you don't even get a leash anymore, son.
This is what I said to Molly, it's like, it's the infuriating thing with Death Stranding, where like, I can do the read that I actually find really compelling, right, of like, oh, the first game, we reunited America. We've revived the United States as the United Cities. America is back and thriving. Anyway, we've got like 10 more guns now. Go shoot people for us, please. I can read an intentionality into that that's interesting, right? But like, I don't trust him like that anymore.
I was going to bring up eventually, like, I saw a video of a way for like you to like, instantly go up and down ladders.
Yes. And the ladders have little like lifts on them now, so like you step on the bottom of the ladder and just kind of swoops you to the top.
No.
What? What happened?
What?
What happened to the game about traversal? What happened?
That's so weird.
What do you mean? You didn't tell me the ladders had engines.
Ladders. They're pretty slow engines, but it's still faster than climbing the ladder manually.
That's...
And, like, if you're on the wrong side of it, then you still have to climb it, but, you know, yeah.
What the fuck, man? You got me to play one Kojima game. And then I went back, and I was like, damn. Some of these are bangers.
Right?
And now I have to accept the fact that I live in the juiceless age. They're not squeezing anything anymore.
There's no
moisture left in anything.
We gotta get a hero to go back to the kiln of the first juice and relink the distillery.
God.
Well, Luke, at least Doll Man does JoJo poses, right?
I haven't seen those yet. Does he do those? Okay.
What?
He does a JoJo pose in a dab.
Yeah, I haven't seen Doll Man dab. I'll say, one of the single best lines in the entire game so far is when Doll Man first shows up and Fragile looks at him and goes, oh, Sam, this is Doll Man. He's a man whose soul got trapped in a... you get it. She's bored of the Kojima bullshit. other excellent line is that, you know, the whole thing in the original Death Stranding is that you need a bridge baby hooked up to your Odra deck so that it can sense BTs, because bridge babies are connected to the beach, right? That's the whole idea. And Lou, your little bridge baby, is like 1 year old now, too big a baby to fit in jar, would probably drown in the fluid, wouldn't work no more.
Yeah, of course.
So my thought going into it was like, oh, they might have to change how the BT system works, and this would be a good excuse to like come up with a new mechanic for this. I wonder how they'll handle it, because you can't use Lou anymore for this. And then I get to the first distribution center when they're tutorializing BTs, and the guy in the like hologram is like, brings up the exact same thing, like, oh, Sam, how are you going to find the BTs without Bridge Baby? He goes, oh, I don't know, my dooms level or something went up. I can see him now.
Yeah, don't worry about the whole, like, you know, personhood as tool.
That's gone. You don't get to watch him shit and piss anymore.
It's so over, man.
Cowardice!
It's never been more over.
You can whip your dick out and piss in the overworld, but you can't, like, when you're in the, like, bedroom, if you can click on the shower and it'll cut to black, toilet flush sound, come up on him showering, cut to black.
Oh. Because the first one already was with some cowardice.
No piss or shit grenades anymore.
What's the point?
Which, like, that...
You still did...
That makes some sense, because that was like, well, eventually you unlock the blood grenades that render the piss and shit grenades, like, obsolete, and, like, they have them now, so why would they go back? But all the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No ride with Norman Reedus ads.
No.
He doesn't drink Monster Energy anymore. He drinks water like a normal person.
Is Ride with Norman Reedus even still airing?
I doubt
that could be part of it.
No.
Yeah, so I think maybe.
But counterpoint, does that not make the ads even funnier?
Well, you know what? That's true.
I looked it up when I was replaying Death Stranding earlier this year.
Yeah.
And it, like, yeah, it had been off the air for, it's been off the air for a while, and, like, I noticed that, like, the last season had, like, 3 clip shows.
Yeah, yeah, it looks like, and he was only doing, like, 5 or 6 of them per season from the look of it here.
God.
Okay, you know, yeah. I mean, like, that's fair. It's like, a big undertaking to, you know, like, get on a motorcycle with somebody and drive around and make a show of it. I get that that could be
sure.
a little taxing. Maybe not have, you're not putting in a 12-episode season. I get that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's a travel show, so
yeah.
they go to other...
Yeah.
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 The main thing I've seen a lot of people talk about, because it's my timeline, is the Pecora.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah,
I've
oh,
not gotten to Pecora yet, but I know she's in there as one of the preppers.
I just think of that. I connected that with Ride, because when you're wearing her hat, Norman Reedus just goes, Pecco. at random points, like when you rode the Ride bike and he goes, I feel like I'm on Ride with Norman Reedus.
Yes. Story-wise... What do y'all remember about the end of Death Stranding's story?
Oh,
Mario and Princess Peach.
Yeah. At the very end. Like, after, yeah, Mario and Princess Peach, Amelie's defeated, Death Stranding's saved, America's saved. What does Sam do at the end of that
cries.
Game?
I do not fucking remember.
I couldn't fucking tell you.
Sam, like, goes, like, act, like, he, like, he's like, actually, you know, all my friends tell me, actually, fuck all of you, I'm leaving.
Yes. He goes, actually, fuck all of you, I'm leaving. I'm popping the baby jar and taking Lou with me, and I'm going to go raise this baby alone. Leave me alone. I hate all of you, right?
Also, baby end up girl.
Yes.
The doctor was a woman.
Right, the doctor was a woman. Yeah, 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 yeah. The beginning of this game, he's got his, like, you know, little prepper shelter that he's raising Lou in, and Fragile shows up and is like, hey, man, you want to, like... work for us again? And he's like, yeah, sure, why not?
Okay.
And I'm sorry, how long has it been?
About a year.
Man, fuck off.
You mean, she, yeah, Fragile shows up and is like, do you want to start Death Stranding 2? And you're like, get a yes.
Well, so, okay, I'm sorry, I gotta go through this bit by bit, because
okay.
There's so much.
Sure.
You, like, you get this whole long cutscene of Sam, like, cooking breakfast for the baby and all this shit, and then Fragile shows up, and she tells you, basically, oh, hey, if you help us get Mexico on the Chiral Network like you did America, then we'll, like, wipe your criminal record, no repercussions for, like, going AWOL on us. And he's and then you can, like, live your life in peace, whatever. He's like, okay, what about Lou? He's like, well, technically... she's not a person, she's property of the UCA, so you're gonna have to work that out with, like, the UCA. And he's like, oh. Okay, and then you get a dialogue option. You can say yes or no. And my knee-jerk was, fuck you, fuck no, why would I?
Yeah, why
right?
would I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I pick no, it hard cuts to black, it starts the cutscene over.
Oh.
But partway through it, it's a long cutscene. Partway through the cutscene, the camera pans over to, like, a wall of photos, and one of the photos is of the moment of the dialogue choice, and it zooms in on it and lets you pick yes or no again. And I'm like, still no. And it cuts to black and starts the cutscene over again. And then it looks like it's zooming in on a photo of, like, the title card, as if it's going to start the full game over and, like, wipe the first 30 minutes that you've already gone through. And then you just hear Sam go, like, no! And then it just cuts back to the dialogue option, and only yes is available.
What the f...
Why?
No, it's so over. It's... it's never been... It's never been more over, man. That is... fuck, dude.
Yeah. So, you've got to go connect Mexico. She's like, oh, you know, if you do this delivery to Dead Man, who's working at the southern tip of Mexico, and like make some stops along the way, you'll connect everything up. Don't worry, you know, it's doing the Destiny scale thing. Don't worry, your home in like South Texas to Southern Mexico, that's only about a 3 days trip. You won't be gone for long.
Uh-huh.
Naturally.
Uh-huh, yeah. And she stays behind to babysit Lou. So what would, now, I'm
of course, the woman stays at home.
Why wouldn't she just do it?
Well, because he's Sam Porter Bridges, Iris.
Yeah, but like,
he's the man who delivers.
She can still do the chiral network thing, like.
Huh?
She's good at it.
She can't teleport anymore. She's like, she did it too much, and now it gives her bone hurting juice to teleport.
Oh,
yeah,
sure,
me too,
sure.
Bitch. You
okay.
Are not special. Get teleporting.
There's a
chop chop.
There's a big thing that happens at the start of this game that I went back. They actually say it in trailers, so I don't know how much of a spoiler it actually is. If I should type it to you so I can hear your reaction, or if it's okay for me to just say it.
Why don't you go ahead and type it? Because I think that's way funnier.
Yeah,
okay,
sure.
I'm also
we don't
mark.
Have to. Yeah, we're gonna have to mark this whole section of spoilers anyway.
Sure.
Oh boy. Fuck off! Fuck off! Eat shit!
No, dude.
I'm gonna type a follow-up now.
Are you fucking kidding me?
I think Ashley walked away from her computer.
Yeah.
I thought that'd be funnier.
It was funnier.
It's pretty funny.
Okay, waiting for this follow-up statement.
Yeah. I'm worried. I have a guess of what this might be.
I'm so glad I didn't. Rolling
all right.
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah,
yeah. That seems like something he'd do. Yeah. That seems like something he'd do.
Right.
Yeah. All right. I'm sure it'll be, if that is the truth, that'll be done in the dumbest possible way.
Almost certainly.
God. Yeah.
Anyway, then Fragile comes back a month later and is like, hey, man, why don't you come work for me some more? And you're like, sure, I got nothing else going on.
Jesus Christ.
And then you meet Tarman, depicted by George Miller.
Sure.
Oh, brother, this guy stinks!
And then, it turns out by connecting America, you've made, like, the Death Stranding better in America, but it made it even worse everywhere else, so the solution is to connect everybody everywhere, and that'll make the Death Stranding
obviously.
Go away altogether.
Why did it make it worse everywhere? Never mind, I don't care.
And there's fucked up Death Stranding stuff that stops normal travel to most places, like, you can't get to South America because there's, like, an ocean of, like, the fucked up tar that the BTs spew out. Except Tarman is named Tarman because he has a special submarine that can travel through tar, so I don't get why that's a problem, actually.
Wait,
yeah.
What? Okay,
yeah,
okay,
couldn't we just
whatever.
Make more of that submarine?
Apparently not, but what we can do is that in southern Mexico, a warp gate to Australia has appeared.
Sure.
Yeah, man.
So now we can go connect up Australia, and we assume that once that's done, another warp gate to somewhere else will open up.
Yeah, of course.
All right. Sure.
So,
now I just have to remember that, like, I saw a bazillion people being like, wow, Death Stranding 2 is so incredible.
Yeah.
That I saw multiple people be like, oh, he's back, baby. He's gone!
I think he's gone. It's still...
He's been gone!
I'm having fun playing it, right? Like...
Yeah.
It's enjoyable. It's just, the story is dumb as shit.
Yeah.
I was going to play it until I remembered I would have to hook up my PS5, and then all of a sudden I wasn't interested in playing anymore.
You know?
Yeah, no, listen, when I was, like, playing Death Stranding 1, I'm like, fuck, man, Death Stranding 2, I could dig into that. And then I remembered it was PS5 exclusive. I'm like, woo!
I'm free!
This was, like, all over every trailer, so I feel fine just saying this. Like, Higgs is back. I just got to him in the story where he's like, wait, you died. Yeah, but I'm a ghost now, because that's how this world works.
Yeah, all right. sure, nothing matters. Whatever. Did they get Mads Mikkelsen?
I haven't seen Mads Mikkelsen yet. Set aside everything else I have said so far. The number one fucking problem so far is Die Hardman is barely in this game at all, at least so far.
You mean the heart and soul of Death Stranding?
Yes, the guy everybody likes. The guy who,
yeah.
Everyone's making funny memes about, who everyone loves to hear Sam, Die Hardman here.
Yeah. Everyone likes to go, Sam, Die Hardman.
Yeah, he is no longer president of the UCA, and also you don't work for the UCA anymore. You work for APAC, Fragile. Which, my God, pick a different way to abbreviate this.
Oh, no!
It's APAC instead of AIPAC.
Oh, my God, but, though.
Yeah, right.
There were years, plural, between then and now.
It's the Automated Public Assistance Company, of course.
Of course, I'm just, like, gritting my teeth so hard they may shatter.
I'm about to go put my night guard in now.
I should get a night guard.
But they're a private business the UCA has contracted to manage the chiral network. And, like, again, it's one of those things where, like...
We've privatized!
Yes!
Oh my God.
It's one of those things where, like, one out of every 50 things in Death Stranding is like, wait a second, there's a kernel of an interesting idea there, right? Because yeah. Sam keeps being like, you guys work for the UCA, right? They're like, no, we don't work for the UCA. We work for a completely separate private company that works for the UCA. It's totally different, man. And he's like, that doesn't seem different. It's different. Shut up, idiot.
Well, it's like, in the first game, there was that whole bit where they're like, oh, like, weird stuff's happening because you connected everyone. Bad to, like, connect all this stuff and run it through, like, the ghost internet?
Right.
And then they do, like, an update, and like, actually, it was fine.
Well, and this was leaning into that more, because you boot the game up, and the first thing you see when you start a new save is a beach that they have built a server farm into, and there's, like, infinite rows of server racks going off into the ocean, and like, instead of the 5 weird fucked up ghosts in the sky, there's like an army of fucked up ghosts like jittering in the sky, and it's like, you guys are clearly fucking around with something you shouldn't be fucking around with, but like
they're monetizing the rot.
Yeah, exactly. It is the thing that makes me the most, it's why Death Stranding 1 made me angry, because I can see, like, ooh, put me in, coach. Let me punch up this script, and you will have a 10 out of 10 masterpiece. I see the pieces, but, like, you don't put them together right. Instead of Die Hardman, you have Charlie, who is a, like, crash test dummy on a stick, basically, with, like, a hologram face that, like, emotes at you. And they're like, okay, you're clearly like a guy. Who are you actually? He's like, I'm not telling you. Like, I'm not working for you unless you show me a face. He's like, okay, I'll pick your favorite Blorbo from Death Stranding and I'll put their face on. That'll make you happy, right? And you just get a list of like all the guys from Death Stranding, which one you want him to look like. Anyway, I'm having fun.
I'm genuinely glad you're having a good time. I bet. Sure. I bet the part where you play the game is fine. I played a lot of Death Stranding, man. I get it, you know?
I think that the package delivery, still fun, excited about that monorail. And, like, I think I'm realizing I kind of have fun getting angry at Death Stranding.
Listen, we all have one of those. We need to accept that about ourselves.
Right. I think I enjoy throwing tomatoes at this series.
Yeah. But knowing it's the only thing you're going to get from Kojima.
Oh, yeah, listen, I mourned. I'm in the acceptance phase of the stages of grief.
Okay, fair enough. This is your coping mechanism. Is if I make fun of it,
it's been 10 years since
MGS5.
Okay, like, listen, it's whatever. It's done.
Yeah, you know what? It's been a long time. You're right.
And even anyway. Like again, I defend 4 and 5, but they're not the first 3 at all. Like they were already on a downward tilt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's
all right.
Me.
Well. Great, Ashley, what have you been doing?
I watched some movies. I forgot it. I don't think I mentioned it's been a week since, so I watched War Games.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's an okay movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, we went to, like, a spy museum when I was in D.C., and they had a whole, like, hacker section.
Uh-huh.
And they were, like, playing, like, movie clips, and, like, it's, like, one of those videos you see on YouTube a bunch where it's, like, you know, expert reacts to.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, this kind of thing.
Could this happen? Yeah,
could this happen? And they did ones for both, like, Sneakers and War Games that we saw. And I was like, Sneakers, that's a fucking movie.
Uh-huh.
And my parents had never seen it, so we ended up watching Sneakers, which I think is a great movie.
As opposed to them being like, you gotta watch War Games.
But they also were like, you need to watch War Games. And I was like, I rent a bunch of movies a week. I can rent War Games. So I rented War Games. I watched it. It's fine.
Yeah. Like I could have told you. It's fine.
Yeah. It was just this weird moment where, like, my parents were like, classic movie. And then, like, everyone on, like, my Letterboxd, who's, like, my age, was like, one star.
Right.
And then I was just, you know, I was feeling pretty good that day, so I was like, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's not, like, offensive.
No.
I did watch Superman 4, The Quest for Peace, which I would call offensive. That's the one with Nuclear Man.
Yeah.
Who is born because they Superman threw all of the nukes into the sun.
I mean, that's probably fine.
Yeah, to do that. But Lex Luthor then, like, hid a, like, little bit of, like, Superman DNA in, like, a homunculus or something.
That's how they get you.
He put his science experiment on one of the missiles so that it made Nuclear Man. And Nuclear Man's main thing is that he has really big nails that he scratches people with.
I wouldn't. And then if you told me sit down and come up with a power for Nuclear Man, I'm not sure I would have ever landed on sharp fingernails.
That's not making the top 50.
And not like, you know, like Wolverine nails. It's like, just like, he went to the salon.
Right.
It really made me want to see, like, a drag performance as Nuclear Man. Someone doing that.
Nuclear Man's just the villain from Catwoman.
Yeah, it was like, you know, they're doing the hand thing. But if you get scratched by Nuclear Man, you get radiation poisoning.
Well, that ain't great, I'll admit.
Yeah, which Superman at one point is, like, dying from. It's like, well, like, I guess, you know, kryptonite's the main thing, but radiation poisoning is probably just also...
Yeah, it's also not good.
Great for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a bad movie. And I watched Ghost Dog, The Way of the Samurai.
Hey, now.
And that movie fucking rules. It's, stars Forrest Whitaker as a hitman for the mafia who lives by the code of the samurai.
I mean, this sounds good so far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's him, like, he does a assassination for the mob, like, right at the start. But he was when they sent him after this guy, they know that this guy is a made man, so he can't technically be murdered.
Mm-hmm.
You know, by the family. And so they're like, we're gonna have you kill him, and then we're gonna kill you. To, like, you know, avenge this guy, and then we're just, you know, we're gonna wash our hands of the whole thing.
Right, right.
And he's like, I'm going to kill all of you now.
Well, that's no good.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, they tried first.
Sure, but, you know, doesn't he know that, you know, that just creates a cycle of violence? Did anyone tell him about that?
I think he's undisturbed by that.
Okay.
The only person he won't kill is the guy who, like, brought it in because he's his domo. It's just a fun time. Like, you know, it's the way I kind of framed it in a review is that, like, what if only one guy was doing all the John Wick shit in the, like, that world?
Yeah.
With, like, the coins and the, you know, suitcases under cement.
Yeah.
And everyone else was just, like, in The Sopranos.
Huh.
Yeah. He also has a lot of conversations with a Haitian ice cream truck driver who only speaks French. And so neither of them speak each other's language.
Oh.
But the joke is that they constantly, like, either, like, understand what the other one just say, just kind of off of context clues, or just repeat what the other person says.
Mm-hmm.
Without knowing,
it's like, the guy, like, in French says, like, oh, it's getting late out, you probably have to go. And then, like, you know, Forrest Whitaker, like, looks around, and he's like, I gotta go, it's getting late.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, but they have an actual friendship that I actually really locked into.
Mm-hmm.
It's a movie I'd heard, been hearing a lot about. It's extremely cool. And just one little bit of extra selling for you. He at one point shoots a dude through a sink.
Okay.
He's like under the sink and the like little like laser goes like through the...
Okay.
It's fucking rules. Hey, you know, it's Forrest Whitaker. He's great.
Yeah, I mean, hey.
I read something that, like, the director / writer of this wrote this for Forrest Whitaker, and if he didn't say yes, he would have just not made the movie.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Also, the score's by the RZA, so that's great.
Oh, sure, yeah.
But that's it for me, Molly.
I beat Liza P.
Nice.
Yes.
Yeah. I did, in fact. It turns out I was like 5 minutes away from unlocking the DLC when I said I wasn't sure what the DLC was. Did
so
not
what
have
I was
to go
seeing
to
of the clips
you're
posting, the DLC is not following up on like the tease from the end of Liza P, right?
No, the DLC is a... Stop me if you've heard this before. You go back in time... to understand more of the events that lead up to the events of Dark Lies of P.
That is so shameless that I kind of love it.
No, it rocks!
So this is Lies of DLC.
Yeah, Lies of DLC, yes. Yeah, what if you went back in time and, you know, helped out with all the stuff that led up to you having to do some shit? You know?
Sure.
There is a point where you, like... you fight one of the bosses when they are smaller, and then it leaves when it has, like, a shred of HP left.
Sure.
Yeah. So you have to fight it later.
That's cute.
There is... Yeah. You know, yeah. There is a... When you get to the hotel, because you get to the hotel before it was, like, being used, because the hotel is, like, your hub point. It is your, right. Your Firelink shrine.
Yeah.
So when you go to the hotel in the past, it hasn't been set up yet. Like, there's a bunch of furniture in there, but it hasn't been laid out. It's all, like, covered in, like, cloth and things like that. But there's a couple of guys who are just kind of hiding out in there because the world is ending or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And when you first show up there, you pull up in a tram, and there's a little tiny kitten aboard the tram with you who grows up to be the cat that hates you in the main game.
Oh no!
Yeah,
I saw you posting that cute cat kitten all over. I didn't realize that there was a doomed romance.
Well, you know, the cat gets to know you and like you during the course of the game as Pinocchio becomes more of a real boy, because the cat doesn't trust puppets, you see, but the cat trusts people. So,
okay.
Yeah. So, a lot of cool deal. The first DLC weapon I picked up was just a bow that does not take arrows. You just fire that motherfucker. Like, oh, it is, yeah. It is not a ammo, which I really appreciate, because the ammo situation in Souls games means that I am never going to touch a fucking bow, right? Like, not happening. So that's fun. I eventually did receive a gunblade, which is pretty crazy strong. The original, when I beat Lies of P back in the day, when it had just came out, it took me like a day or two to get through that final, but it took me two attempts this time. I just exploded him. It just was not.
Yeah.
Now contrast this to the final boss of the DLC, who I spent a few hours on, and I was like, oh, you guys like meant this as like kind of a new game plus experience, I think. And I ended up beating it in my new game and then going to the end game of the main game. And so I was there and I'm like, man, this is for babies. I was in the Torment Nexus, man. It was
up
in there.
That's how it was fucking going through the end game of Elden Ring after fucking doing the DLC.
Right? Yeah. So, yes, totally.
Just these bosses are made of tissue paper.
Yes, they have perfectly replicated that experience. I took more pictures of that kitten than anything else I have ever taken pictures of in Lies of P. They're the baby.
Every time I saw that cat, I was like, I should send this to Molly. Then I saw that you posted it.
Because I would not stop posting the cat. Listen, little guys in the credits, you have to go out of your way to buy the little bell collar for her. Like it costs a currency that you can spend on, like, actual big upgrades.
Uh-huh.
And while I'm sure there is enough of the currency throughout the DLC to buy everything in that shop, I didn't find that, but I sure as fuck went, I gotta buy that collar, man.
Yeah.
I gotta get that cat a collar. What if she gets out? I know the world ended, but you know, there's a whole
It's still important.
Yeah.
Well, did it have the collar in the main game?
Yes, it did. Yeah.
That's
well, then you must buy that collar.
You have to. Yeah, you have to, or else I'll call us a time paradox for
sure. Exactly. You have no choice.
But yeah, great DLC. Was definitely like a step up in difficulty, that I enjoyed, even though I was a little aggravated about it at first. But you know, we got there. It turns out like the answer, as always, is to just be as aggressive as possible and stop being a baby about blocking attacks. Cause like, you know, you're going to get hit. Right. You may as well just fucking kill him about it.
Right.
So as always, just shoot more. I think, I played some Street Fighter over the weekend. They announced that Sagat will be out in August. So I was just fucking around with the game a little bit. I picked up Jamie.
You gotta prepare.
Yeah, you gotta prepare. I picked up Jamie because I kind of wanted to learn him anyway. And I like and I think he's hot. I guess I'll just say that up front. He's very attractive.
Sure.
And his skin 3 has some really, really good eyeliner on the boy. So, you know.
I'm pretty sure that like 90% of like who you choose for your, like character in fighting games is who I want to fuck.
Yeah, you just gotta find somebody who looks cool or cute that you enjoy. Yeah. You're gonna be looking at him a lot. You better like looking at him.
Listen, when Nagoriyuki in Strive takes off his, like, scary skull mask and he has, like, the most beautiful blue eyes behind it, it hits every time.
Yeah. So yeah, I was doing some of that. He has a fun, he has a bunch of little target combos. Every time he takes a drink, he gets a new one that leads into the next drink, which I think is really fun.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a good way to do like the kind of the drunk boxing stuff.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, I think it's really neat.
I just like that, like, the first signals, one, like the way he signals that he's drunk enough to do the cool shit is he takes his shirt off.
He rips his shirt open and he takes his braid out, so his hair is flying everywhere. It's great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I also really enjoy the way that, like, the first target combo is a low, the second one is a, like, standing, the third one is an overhead, and then, like, the fourth one is a mix of mm-hmm. those, you know. So it's fun. I enjoy
it. Yeah.
Unfortunately, it does mean you have to learn like 5 different target combos to like properly sure. play the guy, but it's probably not like that serious because I'm not going to be like going to Evo. So it's yeah. fine.
Right.
I am not competing like that. But, you know, I'm excited to pick up Sagat when that happens. Also started Code Vein because we're playing that for Journal next month. The Cyberpunk episode of Journal is out. We still have to record the Forgotten City one because we didn't get to over the weekend. So it goes. But I think that is most of what I did over the weekend. You guys want to talk about Fargo?
Sure.
We can. Yeah, sure.
Oh. Oh. I didn't know it was like that.
Yeah, I like when Molly came in, she was like good Fargo episode. I'm like
I was like, "Oh."
Yeah.
Okay, that's fun. I had fun, but yeah.
Yeah, I think I landed on Ashley's side here.
Okay.
Which, well, after we talked about it, I'm like, you know what? Completely understandable. I understand where you're coming from.
Oh, I get the criticisms. It's just, you know, I find the show fun enough to watch regardless. But yes, you're not wrong.
For sure. Yeah.
This is also in the opposite of War Games. I've been sneezing all day, so I was in a bad mood.
Oh, sure. That'll do it.
You know what? That's fair. Yeah. Season 1, Episode 3.
Yes.
We start with a flashback.
A muddy road. And yeah, we get a flashback of where that guy, that naked guy in the woods came from.
Yep.
Yeah.
And where he came from was he's some guy in an office and Malvo came and just dragged him by the tie out of the office and nobody stopped him.
Yeah.
No.
You know, I can't blame him. If a guy came in and started dragging a guy out by his tie, I might shrink a little bit and be like, you know what? I'll let somebody else handle this.
I might too, but it does strain believability for me a little bit that literally nobody tries to stop him.
Yeah.
I think somebody would have.
Yeah, you would think somebody. Well, listen, that wouldn't set up Billy Bob Thornton to be such a cool guy.
Right, exactly.
I mean, you could have like someone like start to like come at him and then Malvo just like glare at them and then them back off.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just kind of like walks in and just kind of like almost like he's like bored, just grabs this guy's necktie, drags him across the floor to the elevator, drags him down to the parking lot.
I like that he has the aquarium screensaver. That's good.
Yeah.
That is important, like, period establishment.
Yeah.
I love that thing.
Yeah, for sure.
That's the Fruitopia machine and I Saw the TV Glow.
Yeah.
But yeah, we get like he's caught in a security camera doing all this, and yeah, why does he make him strip before he puts him in the trunk?
I don't know.
For the goof,
he's a weirdo like that.
I think he just does not care for human beings.
Yeah,
And thus is treating them as such.
Sure.
He really just drags him all the way. I mean, the clothes are pretty much ruined by getting dragged from the top of this building to the bottom, probably.
Yeah.
I also could see, like, I'm going to put this guy in the trunk. If he escapes, he will be one, like...
That is what I was thinking. Like, you can't escape because you'll freeze to death if you try, which is exactly what happens.
Yes.
Well, I suppose that makes sense.
I don't know if that was the idea, but that is, you know, one that would make sense as an explanation for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, makes sense for the crimes.
Yeah. But yeah, this is the, you know, crime that Molly got assigned to solve now. So she's, like, tracked this guy back to this office building and she gets the security camera. So she's gotten a look at the guy that she's after now.
Yeah.
Who could he be?
I did like everyone being like, I heard he had a gambling problem. Like, had sex with a 13-year-old. Oh, don't say that. Don't, you know, spread rumors about a guy. Just passed.
Right.
But no, yeah, definitely gambling addict.
Right.
Meanwhile, in Duluth, Malvo confronts Dennis from Always Sunny with the blackmail letter showing the bronzer
he's
got
so
on it.
You're so bad at this, bro.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Amazon, for reminding me this character's name is Glenn, so I don't just keep calling him Dennis from Always Sunny.
I mean, the actor's name is Glenn Howerton, so he would be...
Oh, wait, no, then you're right. I'm reading the actor. I know Don Chump is this character's name.
Don Chump. Don Chump.
But yeah, like, Malvo takes him into, like, a closet to, like, okay, you fucked up so bad, man. You're really bad at this. But instead of killing him, he's gonna help him out. He's gonna take over the blackmail operation.
Yeah.
And Mr. Chump is just like, what? I don't understand. He's like, that's okay, I understand. Don't worry about it.
It's really interesting that apparently this is not the ex-wife. Or that's the suggestion being made here, that it is not the ex-wife who's blackmailing him.
Right, originally. Yeah. At least so far, it seems like we don't have reason to believe she's involved with it, right?
Yes. The way he is talking, it makes it sound like that she did not know this was happening.
Right. Yeah.
Because he wanted to open, like, a sauna.
Yeah. Malo asks him why this specific amount of money. He's like, well, I want to open a Turkish bath.
That's a yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, why the specific amount of money?
Yeah.
And he asks, like, what do you know? And he's like, I don't know nothing except, like, the money suspect.
Right. So I just assume that if I, you know, am kind of creepy about it, that he'll, you know, cave.
Yeah, he'll just give me the money.
Navo's just like, I hate you so bad.
You're so bad at blackmail.
This
you work
such
for
a
me
bad
now.
Plan. Let me do it myself.
Yeah.
When this episode started, by the way, I'm taking over the blackmail, I was hooting and hollering. Yeah. This is exactly what I want out of this.
Yeah, yeah. Malvo's having a fun time this week.
Yeah, yes. No, the scenes involving, like, Malvo and the fucking grocery king are pretty good.
Yes. Pretty good. I enjoyed that stuff a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder, like, just trying to, like, part of it is not trying to figure out, like, Malvo's, like, morals, because he is just the devil.
Right.
He's just
the
kinda. Devil.
But, like, I wonder if, like, he just, like, hated the vibes of the king so much that he was like, all right, I'm gonna fuck this guy.
Right, it's like, yeah, is this just what he does to everyone who hires him, or just, did he fail some test during that first meeting?
Right? Well, I mean, we don't know what his job is. So, maybe he's a professional
demon. He seems like he's some kind
demon.
Of hitman or whatever, but yeah.
Well, right, it seems like it, but now that he's doing this, I'm like, is he just a guy who tortures evil people?
You're saying the guy in Arizona with all the phones is not actually, like, a hitman hiring service. He poses as one to go enact vengeance against evil people.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And he's got guys for that.
Yeah.
I have no reason to believe anything otherwise at this point.
Yeah, sure. No, I mean, I guess, yeah, we don't know that this is Malvo going rogue. Maybe this is him doing his job.
I obviously, I assume that it's him going rogue, but it would be funny if this was his job to be a shithead to anybody who calls in. Like, thought you were going to get a crime guy, huh?
Right.
Joke's on you, motherfucker.
Is this just going to turn out to be full-on Twilight Zone, where this is literally like Mephistopheles on the telephones?
Yeah!
We're all loving Malvo's antics, but you know who doesn't? Is Gus Grimley.
Yeah, no.
Gus Grimley can go suck a nut, man. I don't care. Get out of here.
Oh, this guy.
Get this guy out of here.
Yeah. He's haunted by that night when he let that guy go. So he goes and tells his boss, who's taking a shit, because I guess this can't wait 5 minutes.
No, absolutely can't. Well, maybe this is the only way you can get him in one place.
They're later going to be like, oh, that guy's such a prick. I'm like, you bothered him in the bathroom to explain about how you let a mass murderer go with a warning. In what way is he a prick for getting
mad
at you?
Yeah.
It feels like...
Go ahead, Ashley.
It feels like they got the, like, you got, you know, option for season 2 when they were writing this episode.
I don't know what you mean.
multiple times where they're like, oh, that's almost like that thing that happened in the past. Oh, well.
Right.
Well, you know, don't
this
talk
is just
about
like
that,
Sioux
though.
Falls.
What, yeah.
What's Sioux Falls? Shut up. That's not happening till season two.
Yeah, that's season two, jackass.
Also,
but
everyone's really
familiar with
like,
Bemidji.
Again, I said it last time. Everyone's really jumping the gun with this being like No Country for Old Men shit. Like, one double homicide happened, and everyone's like, my God, the darkness is consuming all of us. Like, it's yeah. not a good thing, but like, it's a normal crime.
Yeah.
Pretty regular.
They're just sad a cop got killed.
Sure, yeah, but, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, which, like, my main thing about this happens during this conversation.
Uh-huh.
Which is, like, so the past two episodes, it's, you know, in this episode, it's very much about, like, you know, emasculated men right. and how they are, like, thin-skinned, dangerous individuals.
Right.
Who are, like, you know, like, that's, you know, Nigerson, that's, you know...
Gus.
In some way, like, Malvo even has some of that.
Malvo is really, like, you have to be a feral animal to avoid becoming that, right?
Yeah.
Yes. And, you know, there's stuff with the guy, Harris, the guy who died.
Yeah.
Sam Hess, sorry.
You're fine. I'm not correcting you, I'm just saying it for the benefit of the listener.
Yes, and then it also is that Chet Hanks, you know, Gus is a emasculated man.
Yeah.
Who's, like, getting made fun of for doing the animal control, and you're like, oh boy, if he can only solve a real crime.
But yeah. also, he can't be bad because he's a hashtag girl dad.
He's a hashtag yeah. girl. Yeah, I almost feel like the point is less like, well, if he could only man up and solve a real crime, it's almost more like, no, he just needs, he's embracing his being a beta cuck and not getting mad about it, and that's why he's good.
Right.
Yeah.
A little bit.
A little bit, but, like, there is definitely that, like, oh, this, like, you know, alpha asshole of the chief.
Right.
Yeah.
You know.
No, sure, he's like, he's getting dumped on in every direction he goes, and like, oh.
Yes.
Yeah, but unlike Lester, he's not murdering any women about it.
Right. No. And, yeah, I just, it's a hard thing for me to swallow that when the character is a cop.
Right, yes.
Yes, on top, uh-huh.
Insecure, violent men, and cops have no fucking overlap at all, I don't know what you mean.
Yeah. You're right, there is no Venn diagram.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll grant you that much.
Yeah.
And then also just the other stuff we're going to get with Gus and Molly in this episode. I was like, oh no, Molly was right.
Never fucking doubt me.
I never did, but it just was like, oh, you're, like, super right.
You were right a lot sooner than I thought you were gonna be.
Uh-huh, yeah.
But yeah, so he admits that he let this guy go with a warning.
Yeah.
And they're like, my God, can you imagine, you know, you fucking imbecile.
Right.
Right, and, like, the thing, they're like, the chief guy's like, and you're gonna go tell them that it was just you, and you're gonna absolve the rest of us of your stupid-ass dipshittery,
uh-huh.
or whatever. And I was like, well, I mean, like, I get that you're trying to make him out to be a bad guy, but, like, that is his one job, as
yeah.
a cop.
Yes.
Is to do that. So,
yes.
yeah, I think, yes, he should be getting yelled at.
Yeah. He probably shouldn't be a cop if he's not willing to confront obviously violent people threatening
well,
cops.
Well, listen, okay, you can't make cops do their job, okay? We've had a
yeah.
lot of court cases about this, and it's actually not, it's not their responsibility to do that, okay? They have
yeah.
to go home at the end of the day just like the rest of us.
It's actually
you know?
Not their job
so
to
it's really
protect
not
anyone.
Fair. Right,
right,
yeah, it's, just forget all the, forget the fact that the guy who got killed was a guy with a baby on the way, okay? Forget the fact that it was a cop in the first place, you know? But it's not his job to make, he's got to go home to his kid. We could had fun in Fargo the movie. We're no longer having fun in Fargo the TV show. I say that I'm having a grand time, but
right, but yes,
I'm just, the level of propaganda it has jumped so incredibly.
It has.
And yeah, Lester is remembering when he saw a cop get shot in front of himself.
And I did, like, us talking about all the propaganda stuff. I did like, oh right, this came out the same year as Ferguson happened.
Yeah.
Jesus.
The fridge magnets behind Lester are just fucking killing me.
It was the same thing last time when he was in the bedroom. Like, every little sign in his house is a little, like, cute, ironic thing where it's like,
dream,
the key to life is happiness,
hope,
or chase your dreams. It made me think very much of, like, it's good when I saw the TV glow does this, but I'm mad at it here.
Yeah. Right.
I saw the TV glow was not bashing me in the head with a hammer the whole time I'm watching it on top of that.
Right. I mean, it kind of is, but I don't mind.
Well, you know, in an interesting way.
Yeah. Like,
in a way that the mallet doesn't say cops are good, actually.
Yeah. This show is beating me over the head with, like, a baby, like, toy squeaky mallet. I saw the TV glow, I leave with a fractured skull.
Right.
Yeah.
As I deserve.
Right. Yeah.
And, like, at the end, it's like, all right, now you're just going to have to lie there in your blood.
Right, exactly. Oh, you thought we were calling you an ambulance? No.
Yeah, and I know this, and you know this show is going to end with, all right, let's get you cleaned up, we'll get you back going. I ordered an Uber to get you home.
I'm not hurt, it was a squeaky toy. It's okay.
I know. Listen, I really think, I called an ambulance already, in fact, and I think we're going to have you evaluated before we get you out of here.
Do I have to pay for it?
Yeah, of course you have to pay for it.
All right.
I don't know why this scene of him in the kitchen exists.
You know,
just so you can see him regret his words and deeds.
But like, yeah, we
already
knew
Freeman's
that.
Just got to do a little bit of quiet acting for a moment. I don't mind it.
I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just
his awkward insurance people.
It's like, I remember what happened two episodes ago. Thank you.
Well, yeah, just in case you missed the first two episodes, they can catch you up. This guy got his wife killed. Or killed his wife and then got a cop killed.
Yeah,
just
I do
in case
think
you
this,
those first
this
two
is
apps.
Like right at the end, I think, of an era of TV where, like, you can't presume they watched the previous episode, so you gotta make sure you're telling the story in a way that doesn't lose anybody.
Yeah, I think that is probably.
And, like, that's on its way out in 2014, but it's not gone yet, you know?
No, not at all.
Yeah, like, I suppose that's true.
We're getting into the element of TV where it's like, you've seen all of TV, right?
Right. Like, Netflix is starting to do original shows at this point, but it's not, like, the main thing they do yet, you know?
Right. I'm going to guess that FX is not on a streamer at this point.
Or it might be, like, you know, you get it with your Hulu package or something, but this is a television show, not a streaming show.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
And also, it probably wouldn't go up on streaming until the season ends.
Right.
But yeah.
God,
he,
right.
Yeah, goes to his insurance, and they're like, oh, buddy, so sorry about the murder. Anyway, you know, there's another guy who got murdered. Why don't you take care of that?
It's like, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, let me go take the paperwork to his widow, who is going to be just the most generically written widow in a murder mystery of all time.
Yeah, God.
I liked it when she was just angry at her sons, but I still
yes.
support her here.
Yeah, she can get that mediocre dick if she wants.
It seems like she's been getting it for a while, so...
Right.
Well, yeah, and this time she'll get paid, probably, so...
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. I will say it's gonna be so bad when Martin Freeman hits on his woman coworker, who is just kind of a little bit nice to him. It's gonna be so brutal.
Oh, you gotta stop reading these Wikipedia plot synopses.
Oh, God.
Writing TV. It's just easy.
Well, real quick, snap decision. What happens to Martin Freeman at the end of the season?
He's fucking dead for sure, right? Like, he's fucking cooked.
Okay.
I don't know. They have not given me a good clue about that yet.
Yeah, that would be my guess as well, is that he's absolutely dead.
Right.
Yeah, this is...
dead, or he is kidnapped by the mob because Numbers and the other guy think or know that he was part of the Hess thing, but they don't know why or how he was part of the Hess thing, but he was involved with the Hess thing. So I think, because he is obviously between the rock and the hard place right now, he's probably right. getting kidnapped by the mafia and taken away before they can actually deliver true justice to him. And the actual justice is going to be them actually arresting Malvo, probably.
Sure, sure, sure. I hear you. I hear you. Okay, okay.
None of that was right. That's okay.
Hey, maybe some of it was, maybe some of it wasn't.
Yeah, he pulls up at the house, and the two adult, but not adult sons...
Yeah.
Are they firing crossbows? And they're like, hey, what are you here to, bro? Fuck our mom? Wait, you can't fuck our mom.
Yeah. But yeah, she just is very like, oh, yeah, yeah, tragedy, whatever. Money, please? Money, please.
Money, please.
But when she realized that he was the, like, guy whose wife got murdered in the paper, she's like, oh, let's sit down, have a drink. You need a drink, buddy. And I'm going to seduce you so you give me my money faster.
Yeah.
Oh, you got a dead wife? I can fuck you into giving me money.
Yeah.
Right.
Because what he's trying to tell her is that, like,
attached,
it's a slower process because they have to wait for, like, the criminal investigation to end before it pays out, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's just like, I don't know, if I fuck you good enough, will that process speed up?
Listen, yeah, listen, she is being 100%, like, very rote character-wise.
Yeah.
I appreciate, well, you know, I am into her being like, all right, I got my tools.
Right.
I know how to use them.
She used to be a stripper until Sam Hess took her away from it all to live in Minnesota.
And she was like, and it sucks.
It's like if you bought a box of murder mystery flashcards, it did all the writing for you for this character.
Well, like, you know when you have, like, a murder mystery party and, like, people get, like...
Yes.
Characters... Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
When she takes off the robe to, like, it says, I have great tits, I 100% thought she was just naked.
I think that's what they want you to think until they cut to her front and she's got, like, a t-shirt on.
Yeah. I do not know many people who wear a robe but have a t-shirt and, like, shorts on.
That's kind of the point of a robe, I feel like.
Well, it's cold up there.
Yeah, it is.
I guess,
you know,
that's
a fair point, actually. Yes.
That's a fair point,
it's fucking
yeah.
cold, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But
she gets interrupted because her sons have injured one another with crossbows that they have for some reason.
Well, because they look inside and... like, see that she is about to fuck Martin Freeman. And
yeah.
Just, their trigger discipline is not good.
No, no.
No.
I love, yeah, he gets shot in the ass, and she just goes, not again.
Yeah. And while she excuses herself, Martin Freeman looks out the window and can see that Mr. Wrench and Mr. Numbers are just looking in the window from the woods. And he's like, that's probably fine.
I wanted more of these guys this app.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I do Malvo, really like this next guy.
Yeah, Malvo goes to a drug dealer in the back of an alley who's got a van full of, like, urine samples and just bottles of prescription drugs.
Yeah.
I feel like you're correct when you say drug dealer. I feel like that undersells it.
How would you describe him?
He has a food truck, but for drugs.
Yes. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Just racks and racks of urine samples.
Imagine if the Resident Evil 4 merchant sold drugs.
Yes. Sold urine.
Yeah.
Yeah, sold urine for you.
Welcome. He throws that coat open in just a bunch of yellow bags.
This guy is slinging Sam Porter Bridges urine.
Oh, they already remade RE4, so it's too late for me to pitch them on the idea that every checkpoint you have to do a urine test to confirm that the Plagueis infection is continuing apace.
Damn.
God.
Yeah, damn, it's a tragedy.
Yeah. Did you see that headline recently where they're like, we can't put Leon in a Resident Evil game because he just doesn't get scared?
That's
Who
not
cares?
True.
No, it was like people don't want to see him scared because he's too cool. And I was like, I think there's a lot of people who want to see him scared.
I don't think you understand the Resident Evil fandom.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people very specifically want to see him very scared and afraid.
I mean, and then Dia did a good post about it.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see it.
That's how I saw it. Yeah.
Yeah. Bravery doesn't come from gaping in the absence of fear. Bravery is deciding to be a size queen while scared out of your mind. God bless Dia.
Yeah.
But yeah, this guy just has some fun banter with Malvo. He wants to sell him a zombie kit. That's like a backpack with like a machete and a shotgun and like some rations.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, in case of the zombie apocalypse.
This guy's exactly 2006. Yes, good.
Yeah.
And Malvo's just like,
I also read the zombie survival guide. Yes.
Yeah. Now it's like, son, it's already dog eat dog world out there. Not sure how much worse a couple zombies would make it. Give me the. He wants a bunch of Adderall.
Yeah.
And then it cuts to. In my mind, this is very much them trying to do the like Mike Yanagita scene from Fargo, where like Molly meets up with like a friend from high school and has like an awkward conversation. And it's like it's another woman instead of a man who hits on her awkwardly, but it's the same energy.
Yeah, it's the same vibe, and also, I don't know why we're doing this. It feels like they kind of just had, like, we should have some weird people in there, and did not think about it further than that.
Uh-huh.
They had written down, they, you know, like, they have a giant whiteboard for the season, and then they had a bunch of, like, magnets that just had, word for word, the scenes from Fargo.
Right.
And they just are kind of, like, moving those around the season.
It's like, how do we rotate this scene 90 degrees to do the scene without literally doing the scene?
Yes.
But yeah, this lady just is like, oh yeah, I've been online dating, you know, dating a lot of guys. Although, you know, you get some weird ones, like this guy who stole all my underwear. Or she had another bad one. Oh, guy with a hair lip, which is not, you know, what do you want, lady? You can't control that.
Yeah, I don't. Come on now.
But then, you know, she's been dating her new guy for like 6 months now. They went to Acapulco, but he got bit by a spider and that laid eggs in his neck and it burst while we were fucking.
And she's, and girl, yeah, Molly's just like, okay.
Her friend is like, yeah, I'm going to be traumatized about that forever. And like just laughing while Molly is just horrified.
Yeah. It's like, how do you respond to someone telling you that?
Right.
Yeah. I also did not get hitting on from this scene.
No, I wasn't saying that was happening. I'm saying it's the Mike Yanagita scene without the hitting on.
Okay, yes.
Yeah.
I misunderstood what you said there.
No problem.
I thought you said, like, oh, the main twist is that it's a woman instead of a man.
Right, no. Yeah.
And I'm like, was I in such a mood that I...
No. That you somehow missed it.
I assure you, no, you're good.
No.
I made you temporarily doubt yourself to your core.
Yeah, you really did. I don't need that kind of shaking of my one self right now. I'm on shaky ground, baby.
But yeah, that happens. And then it cuts back to the Malvo plot where he murders a dog.
Yeah, I didn't really like this scene.
No.
Just for the dog murder, but I just think, like, the, like, him... It's a really thin line to walk with, like, these, like, badass villains.
Yeah.
Of, like, how much of it until it just kind of gets comedic and not a way that they intended.
Uh-huh.
And maybe they did intend this, but, like, just him, like... lollygagging around filling this pill bottle as the guy is like right there looking for his dog.
He's like making no effort to sneak at all, but just through happenstance the guy's not walking into the room, you know?
Yes, yeah.
Well, he's looking for his dog and he doesn't think to check the room with the doggy door that Malvo's in.
Yeah, it just is like Malvo could be cooler about this and like sneakier about it.
Yeah,
like,
I think
being sneaky is cool, like not just like not caring at all and just still walking out smelling like roses.
Right.
Is cool, but it's a bit much.
I think
you needed to stage it differently.
Yeah, the problem for me is that the guy is in the one hallway walking back and forth like five times without entering this one room that the guy is in.
Right.
And that just like completely unsettled. I'm like, your house is not that big, man. Like, it's
an extra element where he just like Malvo somehow subtly manipulated him into checking the wrong rooms would have like fixed the scene, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And like also like that the noise, like the music playing is like trying to ratchet up the tension. It's all in one shot, and I'm just like, at some point, it's like, your house is not that big, my man. but yeah.
Yeah.
Dead dog, and now the ransom's for $1 million.
Yes. And also, he swapped out this guy's medication. He, like, the pain meds he was taking for his back have been swapped out for the Adderall that he just bought from the drug guy.
Yep.
Yeah.
So this guy's going to be having a great time.
On Adderall, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that Malvo asked for Adderall by going, pretend I'm a 300-pound 9-year-old with who can't finish a sentence.
Yeah, yeah.
Just, like, casual assholeness.
Right, right. He just wants the biggest dose possible, which 30 milligrams is a very big dose of Adderall.
Yeah.
That's a huge dose of Adderall.
Yeah.
Especially for someone who doesn't have ADHD.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, Lester's hand, not doing so good.
No,
pretty gross.
It kind of seems like after he failed to buy disinfectant that one time, he hasn't tried again.
Yeah, he just gave up.
Yeah.
He's like, really going something. To the pharmacy spawns cops.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that, listen, buddy, I know it's going to suck. You just need to cut that thing out.
Yeah, that is what you gotta do.
You just need to take a hot needle to that motherfucker, yeah.
Yeah. But, like, he's in the bathroom at work, like, squeezing pus out of the wound and, like, trying not to, like, cry out in pain while he does it.
I was looking at another screen while this was happening.
Yeah.
I understand.
Yep. But he comes out of the bathroom, and his coworkers are gone. They went to Arby's, and Mr. Wrench and Mr. Numbers are here, and they've locked the door.
See, and now this I can work with.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
These guys got the sauce.
Yeah, these guys got the sauce.
Yeah, and Lester is immediately like, fuck, they got me.
Right, because they just started Well, Mr. Wrench keeps interrogating him, and Lester's just like, Huh? And, like, Mr. Numbers will not translate for him?
Right.
Which I like think when is a good he goes, bit. Lewis, like, when, like, they are about to, like, do some bad shit to him, he's like, I have a deaf cousin.
Yeah, I got a cousin who's deaf.
Right.
And then Molly shows
sure
up
don't have
and
a family anymore.
Fucking right. saves his ass.
Yeah.
But Molly walks in just when they're about to really start putting the screws to him, and he just pivots to, like, treating them like customers. I like they also just, like, play along with it because they don't want to start shit in front of the cops. Okay, yeah, thank you so much, Lester, for your time. We'll talk again soon.
I like what, Mr. Red says is, you're tiny and baby-like.
I didn't look up the translations for this one.
That's real good. And then you're running a small business in a small town. You're nothing, worthless.
Damn.
Rude.
The lion kills. The people under the king are killed. You're a joke. You're like a tiny bug. I wish I could squish you.
Goddamn.
Yeah.
This guy gets it, man.
But yeah, Molly comes in, and Lester's immediately like, I talked to Bill already, leave me the fuck alone. She's like, no, I just want to talk about insurance with you. I want to get an insurance policy. Oh, whoops, oh, dang, I dropped my photo of Malvo. Oh, jeez, did you see that? How'd you react to it? Oh, you're real scared. Interesting.
He is so bad at this.
Yeah.
Right. He's like, you should go now, actually. Just take the flyer and get out. Oh, God.
Yeah, like, is also, just bad at fucking, like, if you want to get this lady off of your back, like, be super normal, like, all right, let me give you, like, let me tell you all about our insurance policies.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Like, and bore her to, like, tears here. Like, you have an opportunity to win this, honestly.
Yeah.
But instead he just kicks her out.
Yeah, and that makes her go, like, extra suspicious.
Malvo gets called into...
to Bill. Oh, yeah, this happens first, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, first Malvo gets called in to talk to Bill, or, yeah, talk to Stavros, the supermarket king, in his home office, where he's got a framed painting of an ice scraper.
Is that himself. A painting, or is that just the ice scraper?
I think it's a painting.
I thought it was, like, one of those shadow box things.
It might be a shadow box. It seems too big, but I might just be getting the scale wrong.
Yeah, I also thought it was a painting, but, yeah, who knows?
Yeah.
Hold on, waiting to see what the hell you guys are talking about, because I do not remember this at all.
yeah, I remember seeing it, and I'm being like, come on, guys.
Yeah. It's
yeah,
the,
what?
It's...
Why are you here?
No, it's because that's how he got the money, is he probably found it.
Maybe. Son of a bitch.
Like, right, like, he's got, like, that looks exactly like the ice scraper that was in the car.
Iris, I like that you are down enough on this show after three episodes that you're mad that it's connected to the movie at all.
I kind of am. I don't think it's you don't deserve that, you know?
Yeah,
took that out of the prop room where the Coen brothers weren't looking.
Right.
It's just another one of those things where I was like, I, like, made a connection in my head that, like, I'm surprised that, like, people wouldn't think that, like, oh, yeah, obviously, that this is...
Right. Yeah, yeah.
I think I looked away when it faded back in, and you don't see it for more than that establishing shot.
Right.
Yeah, it's the establishing shot of the scene.
Yeah. It's a blinking...
I would assume if you were... Sorry, go ahead.
No, that was the whole sentence.
Okay. I would assume that if you were sitting down to write this story, that's where you start, right? Like, how do you build off of Fargo? Well, the briefcase had to go somewhere, right? What happened to it? And then you kind of work backwards from that.
Yeah.
Because that's, you know, that is, as far as I remember, the only, like, meaningful connection to the movie. He also has a big stained glass window of a guy getting burned alive on the other side of his office.
It's one of
the
saints,
the guy
right?
is badass. Yeah.
It's St. Lawrence, the patron saint of hard asses. And I looked it up. He was a patron saint of librarians.
He's just got some good final words, so.
Right. They burned him alive. You know what he said? Turn me over. I'm done on this side.
Yep.
Gus is looking through... Oh, no, yeah, Malvo basically just talks him into moving into his house until they find the blackmailer to stop him from, you know, doing any more dog murder stuff. Little does he know. That's just going to make it easier for dog murder stuff to happen.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think he has any more dogs.
That's what I'm saying, dog murder stuff. That type of thing,
okay.
You know?
Yeah. When we get to what I'm... I'll say when we get to it.
Okay. Gus is going through, like, mug books to try and find Malvo, so he can go talk to, the Bemidji police about what he did. His daughter convinces him to parlay this into blowing off work for the day by going in person to tell them.
Yep. Smart.
Yep.
Good work,
like,
kid.
Well, you know, it'll sound better if it's in person and not over the phone. You better go drive down and talk to him.
Hey, Brad, bring me.
Yeah, I better bring me, because I got nowhere else to be today. So that night, yeah, Molly goes to show Bill what she's learned about showing Lester the photo, and he does not care. He's like, I told you to leave Lester alone. Fuck you, you ignored me. I don't really care if this makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't even care if a guy comes in later and explicitly connects the crimes together for you.
I really don't care. Do not give a shit.
I'm too busy contemplating my fish.
Yeah, I looked it up, and St. Lawrence is the... In addition to libraries, he's the patronage of those who work with open fire and those who fire mean harm.
I see.
Which is a little on the nose with how he did. They're like, what should we give the fire guy patron over?
You know, in a world where people are getting burned alive, they need one of those, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. But yes. Yeah. Bill is just like, listen, didn't I say I'm going to stop you from solving this crime?
It didn't. You weren't solving it in episode two. Episode three, still too early.
Yep. I'm going to turn away from you now just to show that I ended this conversation.
Like a fucking child.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, Gus comes in and is, like, talking to the reception desk about, hey, I need to speak to someone about Lester Nygaard. And Molly just happens to hear, like, oh, yes, me. Hello. Hi.
Hi. Yes, I'm definitely in charge of that case.
Yeah.
Yep.
And, yeah, he tells her the whole story. And she's like, okay, but how's come you didn't know that it was Lester Nygaard until later? Because you would have gotten his ID, right? And he's just like, well, you see,
listen, he was scary.
I was real scared.
Listen, the moral of the story is it's okay to be scared sometimes.
Yeah.
Even if you're a cop, whose job it is to not be scared of these things.
Well, he's like tripping over his words trying to explain himself, and then his daughter comes in to ask for money for the vending machine, and Molly kind of like figures it out, like, oh, I get it. Okay, you're scared because
oh, it's
daughter.
Okay. You're a girl dad.
You're a girl dad. It's okay for you to not do your job. But, like, this is the plotting thing that bothered me the most, because he found a stolen car driven by Molly's suspect. Other than, like storytelling reasons, there is no good reason not to go right back to Bill and be like, motherfucker, we got it. His car got stolen and he lied about it, and it was stolen by the guy from the other case. At minimum, they're connected, even if Lester's not culpable.
Yeah.
Yep.
That just doesn't happen. They just go out for dinner instead.
And Molly decides to be mom.
Yeah, she takes them to her dad's restaurant, and, you know, everybody's fast friends. They all get along so well because they're the good guys.
Yeah, like, the daughter is like, we're waiting for a real pretty lady to the dad.
Yeah, well, because before that, he's like, hey, so she seems nice, huh? And Greta just gives him a look like, all right, asshole.
No, she literally says, oh, brother.
Yeah, right. She says, ay, caramba.
Yeah, ay, caramba, excuse me. Uh-huh. Wow, Dad, you're stupid.
But yeah, Lou sees that Gus is dressed like a cop. He's like, I used to be a cop. Did a little case called Sioux Falls. But you'll hear about that more in about, you know, 6 or 7 episodes.
Right.
Did a little case called Fargo Season 2.
It's weird that they called it that when there wasn't a Season 1 yet, but...
I think after you see it, you're going to think, why is the main thing you thought about the murder that happened? There was so much going on with that thing. I guess I don't talk about the big thing from it. Probably don't tell anyone about that part. Oh, jeez. Wait till you see it, though.
Luke says it's the best one. Or at least better.
I think it's a much better season than this one. I think we are never getting away from this show painting cops as the holy knights that protect the flame of goodness in the world. That's just what they're doing.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, if you can accept that for 44 minutes, I think they occasionally make some pretty good stories with it, you know?
Yeah.
I think that it is also just a hard gear shift.
Yeah,
in terms,
totally.
Not just of, like, the propaganda, but, like, in terms of quality, and I'm not saying that this is a bad show.
No, but it's not Fargo the movie.
Yeah, it's not the Coen
Brothers.
It's not
Fargo the movie, and it's not No Country for Old Men.
Right. Yeah. Like, no, not at all. And it... The fact that it keeps inviting those comparisons is on it, and nothing else, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, the dad brings them all milkshakes, is a bit of a, like, I put bourbon in one of them, and Gus, like, freaks out and takes the one from his daughter. She's like, oh, he's just kidding. And then Molly drinks, oh, nope, never mind, I've got the bourbon.
Yeah.
It's kind of cute, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, and Molly asks, got a boyfriend?
And guess like she's too young for a boyfriend. And Molly's just like, yeah, okay, buddy.
She's 12.
Yeah. And then, oh, right, Lester just goes to his brother and is like, let's go shoot some fucking guns, bro.
Sure, man.
Which is apparently the only thing his brother's ever wanted to hear from him.
Because he's a fucking sickos guy for it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he also, Lester pockets a taser.
Yes. 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 We get a little Chekhov's taser action.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then that, like, transitions into, like, Malvo is doing voiceover reading from the Bible.
Yeah.
Yep, and then, like, we get, like, this kind of, like, impressionistic scene that's, like, closing in on, like, this shitty little cabin that Wrench and Numbers are in. Like, the door, like, opens itself so we can see them huddling around a stove. And then it cuts to Stavros popping more Adderall and then going to take a shower. And he's reading from the story of Moses, and as he's reading, all of a sudden the water in the shower starts turning to blood that just, you know, soaks Stavros, just covers him in blood head to toe. And Malvo is just loving it as he hears him screaming from outside.
Yeah.
It does kind of go crazy. It's fucked up, but...
Yeah. Right,
yeah.
We see that he bought it from a butcher. I kind of wish that he bought it from that one drug dude.
That guy also just had a bucket of pig's blood.
Like, just, or just blood in general.
Right, right, right.
You want a fluid? I got it.
It does take him a distressing amount of time to realize that he is having blood sprayed on him.
Yeah.
I feel like you would smell it or taste it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it definitely goes in.
But it takes
him
a little longer
quickly
than you think it would.
Yeah.
Because he eventually, like, he realizes it from tasting.
Right.
But
except
like,
it gets in his mouth and he just starts, like, yeah.
Also, this is not going to be warm. Your shower just got real cold with pig blood.
I mean, I guess if... I don't know enough about plumbing. Like, where did he add the blood to the system? If it went before the water heater, then maybe.
Yeah, but you think it's going to be in the water heater for that long before he takes a shower?
I guess that's I guess I don't
question.
Know.
I don't know how he does
it. Because if he just poured it into, like... Yeah, but if he just poured it into a hot water tank, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, but then you're going to have hot water in the sink, man. You're going to have hot pig blood in your sink. Don't you
I think that's going to happen no matter
you
what.
You live there now, brother.
There's not a separate plumbing line for the sink.
I guess.
I think Malvo is that concerned.
Water heater, I don't know how plumbing works, I guess is really what I'm betraying here. I'm just really revealing
sure,
that
I mean,
don't
listen,
know
I only have the
plumbing.
Barest understanding of how plumbing works.
I just kind of assumed there was one water heater, and then you got to deal with the hot water coming out of that for everything.
Right,
so if the
no,
pig's blood is in the water heater, then the pig's blood's in everything.
Right. I think that's what's happening.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Okay. It just seems like a bad way to do it. I don't know. That's all I'm getting at.
Well, though, wouldn't the pig's blood dilute into the water and not be all thick and bloody like it is? Hmm.
That's what I'm saying, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I
just replaced the
water. It's a cool image that
Yeah, no.
Yes. Yes. Correct.
Come back next week when we interview a plumber about how you could pull off this funny prank.
Listen, I did just watch a guy mess around with plumbing to shoot a dude, so I think I'm an expert.
Uh-huh,
oh, okay.
But that's anyway. That's episode 3. A Muddy Road, the name of the episode, is a Zen koan about two monks on a road, and they see like a pretty lady in fancy clothes who can't cross the street because it's too muddy, and one of them picks her up and carries her across the street. And the other one's mad at him when they get home and is like, hey, we're not supposed to, like, interact with women. We're monks. You know, we're supposed to be, you know, whatever. And the guy's like, ah, I set the woman down on the road. Are you still carrying her?
All right. Sure.
Bodied.
Bodied, yeah. But also, what's that got to do with this? None of these titles have made much sense for the episodes.
He put Malvo down on the road and does not carry... I don't know.
I guess Lester reacts to the Malvo photo. He's still carrying the crime with him.
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah.
Which obviously...
When there were two footsteps, that's when Malvo carried you.
When there was one set of footsteps, that was when the devil held you.
Right.
Why are they hoofs, man? What's up with that?
Because it's from the Horse Girl game.
Of course. And with that, we've come full
circle. You guys want questions?
Yeah, sure. Some questions.
This is from Zampano. What Netrunner deck would Malvo and Lester want to play?
Oh, now we're talking.
I saw this and I was excited for Luke.
Give this to Luke.
Yeah. I mean, I assume we're just talking standard card format because there's a lot of Netrunner IDs. I don't really want to get into the whole thing here. Let me just pull up the Netrunner ideas real quick.
I definitely know that you don't want to talk a lot about Netrunner ideas
because obviously you have good ideas about this too. But I already have this saved. Did you think about this earlier? Oh, do you have the IDs?
No, I just I just have all the IDs saved on my computer because I don't know how to play this game.
Yeah, so Lester's whole thing is that he's meek and passive until he gets mad and snaps, right? So I feel like that is, golly. I mean, Elio Construction maybe suits him a little bit, because that's all about sacrificing your own ice to, like, stop the runner, and that's kind of like him ramming his head into the wall, right?
Yeah, and sure, I think, like, the idea of, like, a construction company is, like, very much like, similar to his job as insurance, where it's, like, seemingly very... mundane, but...
You know, that's true, though. He is an insurance salesman, and I think that's more of a Wayland type of industry than an HB type of industry. Although, I don't know if they've ever really gotten to what Megacorp runs insurance companies, but that's neither here nor there. If we're talking Wayland, though, maybe a Nuvum SA? That's more of a construction company, but again, they don't have an insurance agency, but, like... That's all about trashing your own cards to make money, and that's the same idea, right? You're sacrificing things to make progress, and you're kind of just holding the runner away and kind of keeping the game in stasis until you can explode into a combo kill. I think that suits Lester well enough.
Yeah, I think that works.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah.
On the runner side, Lester, we're probably looking at maybe a... I feel like a Shaper, or maybe as McAfee, who's like... just installing connections and hardware and just setting up for a long time.
He seems more like a guy who would overload on shit rather than actually do anything good.
That's why I was kind of thinking Shaper, because Shaper is very much about just building up a big board and then letting it rip. But if he just plays Shaper badly and never gets to the second part where you let it rip, that might make some sense.
Right, because Malvo's more of a let it rip. He's more of a build it up and let it rip guy. He's doing shit
Malvo,
like that.
Malvo, I think, makes a lot of sense as like a lat Shaper. You know, where he is constantly making progress just through setting up, and then eventually he's got the inevitability engine going. Right, like he let you score the first 5 points for free, and good fucking luck scoring point number 6. Right, that's the whole game there.
Yeah.
So I think
Malvo's
definitely
a guy who would want people to think that they got a win in.
I would also say, Lat does not look like Billy Bob Thornton, but of the current Shapers, I think he looks the most like Billy Bob Thornton.
We'll take
Bass
the ones where we
closer.
Can find
they both
them.
Do. So I'm going to say Lat for Malvo, maybe like a Dewey for Lester, where like, that's so much planning and it doesn't really work that well. And then Corp for I mean it's got to be a kill deck for
he's just
got to
be
right?
icing people.
He's just gonna be icing people. A Jinteki makes a lot of sense to me here, or maybe an NBN because he is very like duplicitous. He's a liar. No, he's a Taya. Malvo is a Taya. That is what I'm final answer.
All right,
and everybody knows what all that meant.
That's right.
From @MofHealy, what's the weirdest thing you ever bought or sold from a secondary market? Flea markets, pawn shops, online marketplaces, and such.
Oh, gosh.
We had like a flea market down the street from us when I was like a teenager.
I bought a DJ Hero controller and then a NES copy of Wall Street Kid.
Great.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, my flea market days, I bought two things. I bought Yu-Gi-Oh cards, and I bought fake swords.
Yeah.
I bought
a... And one that was like, the hilt looked like a dragon, and it was like spring-loaded to come out of the hilt.
I definitely got some spring-loaded knives I should not have had.
Right. These were not sharp, and I've got a feeling they would immediately break if you tried to attack someone with them.
100%. Right.
What were you saying, Iris?
Yeah, so I once bought a... this isn't necessarily weird in the sense that, like, it's not... the item itself is not weird, but it was a funny way of, like, getting to it. On eBay, I bought a cookbook that was about, like, sort of traditional, like, Greek recipes. Specifically because of, like, a historical fact I came across about the goddess Iris having a cult that, like, would offer her these kind of ancient cheesecakes called bassinier, which is a type of, like, cake made of, like, wheat flour, suet, and honey. And it was one of the only things that I could find that actually had a recipe to make it. And I found it through eBay. Here's the embarrassing thing. I still haven't made it yet. I need to do that next.
Oh, okay. Hey, you know?
Yeah.
One step at a time.
But yeah, there's some interesting stuff in that cookbook, actually. It's pretty cool.
I don't know if I have a good answer to this. It's copies of Too Human, basically.
Yeah. last questions from Crystal. Bill Baggins pussy eating technique?
What the fuck?
Oh, something something second breakfast.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was going with. And, like, depending on, like, this, the race of the people that he's eating out, he doesn't even have to bend, you know, kneel.
Right, right, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No, it's easy. It's easy.
No, my friends, you don't kneel this day.
You kneel for no one.
Stupid.
A crumb of elf pussy can keep a man fed. and then also ask Black Panther white CIA agent pussy eating technique.
I don't have any good Black Panther puns.
And I just gotta assume it's bad, but he does the Wakanda salute before he goes down.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No!
Oh, I'm fucking dying.
Anyway, that's it for questions.
Yeah, it sure is.
Great.
All right, Iris, where can we find you online?
You can find me at Stilts on Blue Sky and at Stilts the GM on Tumblr. You can also listen to my podcast, The Iris Archives on Audio Entropy. And you can also listen to Eidolon Playtest, where I am a cast member on the show as well.
That's so true.
Yeah, these are all true facts. I've checked them on Snopes.
I would never lie to you.
That's not true.
Luke!
You can find me on Blue Sky at SSJ Speed Racer. You can find other shows that are doing audio entropy, such as the aforementioned Eidolon Playtest, where things just never stop happening. Ever.
Not even ever. A little bit.
Not even a little bit. What's coming up? What episode? Oh, VGM 12 will be out? Oh, boy.
No, it's EDM.
Yeah, EDM 12 will be on the... No, EDM 12 is releasing tomorrow. So VGM 12.
EDM 11 is releasing tomorrow.
EDM 11, sorry, excuse me, yes.
Right.
So VGM 12 will be
VGM 12
will
be out
episode.
On Patreon next week.
Oh, right. I forgot to take into effect that this podcast will be released in the future.
Yeah, it's
not
a week
literally
later.
Right now.
Right. Yep.
Right. Okay, great. Ashley?
You can find me at Yuri Librarian with Blue Sky and Letterboxd. You also find me at patreon.com/AshleyLeeMinor.
Give Ashley your fucking money.
Give Ashley your fucking money.
Give Ashley your fucking money.
Molly!
You can find me on Blue Sky and Tumblr at Your Friend Among the Y-E-R. You can find me at AudioEntropy.com and EanMayo.com and TheSecondBestGame.club. You can go to AudioEntropy.com and hit the donate button in the upper right-hand corner of the website. Give us a little money for hosting. Appreciate if you could do that. You can go and leave us reviews on places that take reviews. I don't know them, but if you do that, let me know. I'll look at it.
Yeah.
Or, you know, Apple Podcasts.
Yeah.
Good reviews only. Again. Never going to stop saying this. I'm not interested in criticism. And that's it. Ashley, get us out of here.
Until next time. Yup.